earthen vessel. But I thank the Lord that He's willing to work with us. Send forth His blessings among us. I'm so grateful for that. God is love. I was thinking about these meetings that the Lord lets us have. We do this by choice. We want to have these meetings. There are various reasons why we want to have these meetings. Some of it is we enjoy being together. We also want to be encouraging to one another. We want to form some heart ties. There's something very encouraging whenever we have gotten to know each other and we share our battles and our victories, and it's inspiring. And when we go back home, we separate and go our different ways. We have fonder memories about each other and maybe greater burdens, knowing how to pray for one another. That's all those are good things. We're intended. God intends for us to be woven together like that. And one of the things that the Lord wants to do in times like this that we offer to Him, moments that we offer to Him in these meetings, is that He wants to come down and change us sometimes. Reveal His ways to us in a greater measure. Do something for us. Sometimes He's healed people in our services. He's healed people outside of our services. He's done that. I was one of those who was a recipient of that. One time remarkably. Different times. Every time the Lord has touched me, it's been quite remarkable. But this is one time I want to share with you. At the Myrtle camp meeting, I don't even think I was claiming to be saved at that time. The young man, Myrtle camp meeting back then, we would have an afternoon service, and I had decided to go swimming, and got back just in time, and I'd had a cold and sat there in front of the window, and the breeze was coming in, and I started getting a fever, and I just kind of got sick. And you know how that back then, it was August when that meeting was held, and it was hot. And I was inside a camper all under blankets, just shaking. And had a heavy cough that I couldn't get out. Terrible headache, and fever was way up. And I remember my grandma came by and she said, would you like for us to have some of the ministers come by after service and anoint and pray for you? And I said, yes. And after services, seemed like most of the ministers were busy with some other duties, and old Brother Stover was alive. Some of you remember him. He and Grandma came down there, and I barely had the strength to get up and sit down in a chair. And Brother Stover came, and if you would have been there, you'd have said there was no... the words weren't great or magical. They were just full of love and trust of God. He talked to his father like he knew him. And he did. And he began to entreat his father about the need of this one. And while he was doing that, and I don't expect it always to be this way for you, but this is what the Lord did this moment for me. It felt like, I hope you can believe me, felt like there was something that was just started, like oil began to just come down, and as it flowed, the warmth began to flow down. The headache just was gone, and the stiffness in my neck. And while I was still sitting there, them praying for me, I kind of moved my head and it didn't hurt. And when they got through, he said, amen. I got up and moved around. They knew something had happened. I did too. And from that moment, things dramatically changed. It was the Lord. It was the touch of the Lord. He chooses however He does whatever He chooses, how He touches us. But my God cares. And you know what? Those things, those moments that we share like that, they form heart ties and they convince us of His love. And God uses times like this when we get together to show His love to His people. And I want to encourage you, for all kinds of reasons, put your trust in the Lord in all levels of your life. He's a Father who loves us and cares for us. And God lets us come at meetings like this, times like this, to learn of these things, to be encouraged, to be inspired, to be drawn closer. He begins to work and talk with our hearts, uses these times to draw us ever closer to Him. Well, I would like to ask us to purpose in our heart to keep what the Lord has given us. If I was a good writer, I would try to write up there tonight a charge to keep. Lord, help us to keep it, to value it enough that we won't allow it to slip from our fingers. Now, I want to turn over into 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. I want to relate to you a little scenario that the prophet here set out. It's found in the 39th verse. I want to pick up actually mid-verse. It says, "Thy servant," the 39th verse of the 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. "Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, 'Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his. Or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver.' And as thy servant was busy here and there," "and as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone." The scenario now that we have before us was, the prophet said that, "I went out into to the midst of the battle." And I don't know, there's many ways you can apply this, but I would like to apply this tonight to our lives and the soul that the Lord has given us. Many times in the midst of the battle, sometimes it's easy for us to lose focus of the responsibility that I have. And the greatest of responsibility is my soul. It's of utmost importance that I keep this soul. He said, "I went out in the midst of the battle and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, 'Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life. Or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver.'" This was something that was beyond the person's ability to pay. And let me remind us is that we really have no ability to buy back our soul. There's nothing we can do, not no goodness of our own, no actions, no only actions that would work is if we come with a contrite heart unto the Lord. But again, it's the work of God that brings salvation. But there's going to be a day that we will recognize how utterly important it is for us in the midst of our battles of life. Sometimes in the trial that I'm right in, or it doesn't even sometimes seem like a trial because I'm busy with life and don't recognize sometimes the utter danger that I can have of complacency. Do you know that's one of the greatest dangers that we have today? Many times when I'm facing a trial, I recognize it as so. But complacency, it's difficult to recognize. It's an easy thing to just fall under complacency or lethargy or in this place of hardly, no, hardly caring. And God wants us in the course of the battle, in the course of my life, He wants us to recognize how very important it is for me to keep this man. That's going to be in our daily actions. That's going to be in the daily things that I allow to enter into my mind, and the way I'm willing to deal with life, the way I'm willing to deal with you as my neighbor, the way I'm willing to deal with you as my brother or sister in the congregation, or the way I'm willing to deal with my wife at home when nobody else is knowing. God, help us to be the kind of person, cultivate godliness, keep this man. You see, there are influences that would like to come in and get us to the point when we come to services, we are so beset either by feelings of guilt or condemnation, something that begins to come upon us that we can't enjoy the services, not able to stand up and with confidence and face our foe. I wondered many times why it was that David's brothers weren't able to stand up when Goliath challenge them. Why weren't they able to stand up and say, "Brethren, this man has no right to challenge us like this"? Was it there's something down inside that wasn't clear? Oh, keep this man. Be very careful how we deal with ourselves, that we can come before the Lord with a certain amount of confidence. That, Lord, I'm interested in dealing with all the missteps of my life. I want to have all that cleared up. I want to be clear and true. I want to have a great confidence in my heart. Keep this man. Now, as we go on in this thought, more things than just this man to keep, but it's all in keeping of this man, wrapped up in that. I want to go over into into Proverbs, the 4th chapter. I want to pick up another verse over here. Proverbs, the 4th chapter. We're going to get down here in the 23rd verse. I want to talk about some things tonight to keep. In keeping this man, there's some very practical things, some areas what God wants us to be aware of and to work on, to recognize and focus our attention on. Y'all have that verse? With all? Why? Keep your heart. You know what your heart is? Oh yes, brother, it's this thing in here pumping in my chest. It's a whole lot more than that. Your heart is the things that you put your affections on, the things that you're willing to go out after, your things you're willing to take into you, the very core, what's your value system. Keep that. There are things that we can begin to allow into our mind and begin to have an affection for, that when it enters into my mind, I begin to make room for that. It can get right down the center part and is the central focus of my very core values. Keep that. Be very careful. Be very careful that the things that we allow and begin to think and excuse in our mind, that it's not just, it's got to be more than me excusing them. It's got to be acceptable before the throne of my Father. Keep this man. While I was busy here and there, I let some things affect my understanding. While I was busy here and there in the course of life, some things began to erode in my mind. And my love got to be affected. My discernment, my ability to the things that got down in my heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Because out of that is the way you're going to act. It's the issues of life. You see, what you allow down inside you will affect how we act. Let me tell you, think about this for a little bit. If you cultivate underlying anger inside you, you think you're going to hide that very long? Who's going to find that out? Do you think just God's going to be the only one that knows that? It has a way of coming out. It'll be kind of like a pressure cooker that the heat gets turned up on. You might be able to hide it for a while, but pretty soon it gets over 15 pounds. 20, 30, 40, 50, and something's going to happen. God wants us to keep our heart very carefully, with all attention. Isn't that what diligence is? Very thoughtful, very carefully, very sensitive toward what am I taking in? What am I putting down in my heart? Where are the boundaries? What am I allowing? See, that's God lets us come to meetings like this that we might take inventory of where I am. Where are we tonight? God wants us to be kept because He wants to present us faultless before the throne. And He's able to do so as long as what we let Him. He's not going to make us, but He is completely able to present us faultless before the throne. And I want to be one of those. But along with that, His ability to do so, He needs me also to, with diligence, be careful what I allow in my heart. Lord, help us. That's part of my job. All right. So we need to keep the door, keep your hearts. All right. How about going over? Look over in John, the 14th chapter. We have some more keeping here. John 14 and the 15th verse. It says about keep my commandments. Okay? How well. You hear that term, command. Y'all like to be under command? You like to be commanded. Children, you like for your parents to command you? That's a term that's a little difficult for us to reconcile. It seems a little harsh, a little bit domineering, but I want to tell you what the Lord tells us to do, it's not out of carnal domination. Out of love. And I want us, Lord, help us to understand that tonight. And not have this carnal push off and saying, you know, I just want to be my own person. I don't want anybody having control over me. Now, I want to tell you, there's a place for you and I to take responsibility. I understand that. But there's a place that God wants to own. As our Heavenly Father, who loves His children, is caring, and He wants to evoke, inspire, He wants to create in you and I a response of love in our heart, that there is something in me. And the first part of this verse says, if you love me. Oh, what a powerful influence that the Lord has brought to bear on our life. He doesn't do this through fear. He doesn't command us through anger. He doesn't command us through dominance. He commands us through love. This force that calls us away from our carnal desires, He captivates us. Lord, help us to submit ourselves to this loving influence. Because only through that influence, when His commandments would be grievous to the carnal heart, to the carnal mind, the carnal flesh, but through love they are no longer grievous, but it's a pleasant thing to submit ourselves to the mighty hand of God. And let me tell you, I'm not saying that just from my mouth. Every one of God's children who has taken that route could stand up tonight and say amen. Through love I found His commandments are not grievous. But I've enjoyed walking this way with Him. And we look over the past that we have, and every time that I've submitted to the will of God, I can look back and say, oh, that was a blessed decision. Keep it. Be careful. Because the devil would like to cause us to have some rancor or something that would stand up and try to pull back from this influence, this drawing, loving influence of the Lord that God wants to use to shape and mold us into His commandments, into His ways, His loving, gentle ways. So keep, again, that's another area, keep His commandments. All right, we want to go over now into Ephesians. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We want to look here at the third verse. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I think I want to read up above that. It kind of goes right on into this. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Brother Paul is saying this. Now, I wonder, he admitted and recognized, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. I don't know whether he was meaning that I'm in prison or that I've been captivated by the love of the Lord, and I'm glad I am. But he was coming at us from this position of caring and loving, trying to give some instruction of somebody who has already been over the road and found the ways of the Lord good. And he was trying to give some instruction here. I think he had seen many times the devil come and try to tear people apart, try to work in and become wily, destructive forces amongst groups of people. And the devil hasn't changed. The devil would like to come in where we sit here tonight, wherever the congregations of God's people are met together across the face of this world. And I want to tell you, if you think tonight that the congregations of God's people are only those that we know and recognize, there are people, I'm convinced, in other worlds that we have no other lands that we have no idea where they're meeting tonight, but their heart is turned toward God. And God says, His eyes are searching the whole earth, looking for that one, those people whose hearts are perfect toward Him. And He sits in their midst, and He feeds their souls just as surely as He feeds our souls tonight. And I say, Lord, help me to find them. Because I don't know, but I do know about you. If you, every time that you have found a soul that you know is in love with the Lord, your heart rejoices. Wouldn't we like to find more? Surely so. Well, Brother Paul was encouraging. We need to be careful because we know there's a foe that would like to come in and try to scatter and try to destroy and try to harm. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. What does this endeavoring sound like to you? Does it sound like just, well, I'm going to see if it works? It's a whole lot more than that, isn't it? I just think I'm going to stumble into this and see if we can't try to make it work. No. No, when you endeavor, it's a whole lot more like I intend to make it. I'm interested in trying. I'm going to do all I can. I think we all, sometimes our personalities don't just always click with each other. That might become a surprise to you. I know it really doesn't. I know that you have also found places in your life and people perhaps in all of our lives that we don't always, we're different. But you know, God loves that person also. Just as much as what He loves me and you. And in families sometimes, in our own individual families, sometimes personalities and families clash. But yet we're put in that family. We're there. And God has ways of helping us and using those things to help us to learn to overcome some of my own desires, my own carnality, as it shows up in rancor or this just get me away from Him. When God would like to give us some grace to be able to overcome some of those things. And in doing so, you're going to have to find yourself working at it. Endeavoring, if you will. Trying very intentionally. I want to keep the unity. I want to be very careful. All right? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. So it's going to take more than just me wanting to, but endeavoring to keep It's going to take this other avenue, this other ingredient of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. What is that influence? It's more than just me. Because, quite frankly, with all my efforts, there's going to be times it's going to be... I'm not going to quite make it. But I need the Lord to come in. That influence. You know what this Holy Spirit is? This Holy Spirit is the mind, the very essence, the very character of God Himself. God's Holy Spirit. Do you believe that God wants... our Father, do you think He wants to infuse us, His dear children, with the characteristics that He has? Or does He want to just cut us loose and let us run free and to any vice that's out there? No. He wants us to have His Holy Spirit. He wants to help us with life. He wants us to begin to identify with the very character of our Father. His Holy Spirit. Lord, I see myself and my shortcomings. And I see sometimes when we get close together and start rubbing shoulders, well, I feel some of the tension sometimes tries to build. And I want to be like You. How do You do it, Lord? How do You deal with all Your squabbling children sometimes? How do You? I want to be like You, Lord. Do You think it's possible? Do You think it might be something that the Lord would like to help us all with? You know why? He wants the avenue a little bit more open that He can pour out His blessings upon us. You know, where there's not the unity, it's very difficult for Him to bless. But God would like for there to be this unity where all of our eyes are fixed on that cross. Where all of our eyes are fixed on God and His holiness. And our eyes are no longer cast so much on my brother, but my eyes are cast on my Heavenly Father, on my brother Jesus Christ. And that is the focus of my life. And His love has captivated me and drawn me. And He is shaping and molding me in spite of all the roadblocks that the devil may be trying to put in my way or cast up before my eyes. We have a Heavenly Father who would like to lead us as long as what we allow Him to. And we should endeavor to allow Him to lead us in this unity of the Spirit where the character of God Himself is infused into me and is lived out naturally. And all when I think of this, I look at myself and say, oh, God, help me. I want to be more like that. And I hope you feel the same. I believe those are some of the reasons why the Lord gives us times and meetings like this that we might be inspired to move up. Keep endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right. Let's move over to Jude. Anybody want to tell me what chapter I'm going to in Jude? Oh. Jude, the 21st verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Oh, that'll solve a whole lot of problems right there. Think of that. Keep yourself in the love of God. Oh, if we can just do that one. There's a reason why Jesus, when He was asked by the lawyer what the greatest commandments were, there's a reason why He said, love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And He said, on these two commandments, He said, hang all. And you begin to run that out in practicality, the way love is expressed, the way true godly love, what the effect that it has on our life. You run that out and you'll find out that it, on these two commandments, hang it all. It would change how we act in every respect. And so, these are one of the things that God wants us to keep When we keep, that means there's something I am working, I grasp, I want to hold, I don't want it to... It's very important to me. You see, it's so important that if I lose this, my life, my spiritual life is at stake. And I've got to keep it. It's of great importance. Your life will be for this one. If you lose your soul, what is that verse? What would it profit a man if he would gain everything and lose his own soul? Nothing. It's worthless. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. 24th verse, you know what that says? Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, Lord. So there have been many times I've hung on something. He's able to keep me. You might think that, you see, Brother Ivan up here saying some of the things that I do, and you might think, well, he's just never had much of a struggle. I want to tell you, there have been times I've used this very scripture when I felt like I was teetering. And I would come and grab a hold of a promise like this and say, He's able to keep me. He's able to keep me from falling. Lord, I don't want to fall. I'm hanging on. And have you ever felt that great arm reach down there and just hang on? We have a good Father. Oh, trust Him, dear ones. Put your trust in Him in every respect. He loves His children. Sometimes there's a verse of the song we sang a while ago, God's way is best. When our human wisdom can't seem to see or understand, His way is still best. And I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. But sometimes when we're in the midst of the battle, it seems like we're challenged on that. Lord, He's able to keep us from falling. Now unto Him that's able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Oh, I like that. I want to go now to 2 Timothy. No, 1 Timothy. Don't wish to hold you too long this evening, but I want to encourage us about some things to keep. Be very careful with. Be very purposeful about holding on to some things. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and the 20th verse, where Paul was talking to this younger minister here, Brother Timothy. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. You know, the Lord has given us responsibility. He's given each one of us... Let me liken it like this. I never did want to be the one to rule my children's life. I wanted them to come to the place that they had stable, maturing thinking, that you could trust them and you could turn loose of them and watch, and you want to see them start making good decisions. There was nothing I felt... I like to take the hands off and say, all right, this is yours to make. And then there's sometimes I prayed and said, Lord. But then when I saw them make the right one, sometimes I didn't show it well. Maybe I was just beaming inside. I'm glad. Did you know the Lord does that? He gives us a place to choose. He gives us some responsibility. Keep. What does it say here? Keep that which is committed to thy trust. That area that the Lord has given you responsibility, allowed you some space. Don't violate that. give, allow the Lord to develop. You know, He's waiting. He wants to mature, to bring us to the place of maturity. He's doing that. Oh, Timothy, these things that the Lord has committed to you, these responsibilities, these places in your life, stand up and take some of those responsibilities. Now, younger ones who are following the Lord, and maybe the Lord is asking you or working with you in some areas of labor in His field, He may not ask you to jump out in the middle of that tomorrow, but He's more than likely going to start leading you in the areas of decision and seeing how faithful you are in the small things. And I want to encourage you to be very faithful in those small things. The trust that the Lord has put in you, keep it. And don't say, well, I'm not being noticed. Be careful, because if that's the drive for you to do that, you're going at it completely wrong. Because you're setting up yourself for utter failure if it's in a carnal desire to be seen. See, the devil will lift you up in pride and set you up for destruction, really. It's a whole lot better just to do it because I love the Lord. And I want to serve Him. And I want my Father lifted up. And I want people to know that. And you feel some inspiration of the Lord working within you. And the devil would like to come along about this time and say, well, you made such a failure of that. And I want to tell you, I've done that many, many times in my life. If you think that Brother Ivan always got up and I know you don't. You know that Brother Ivan's made many failures in presenting things. But the Lord never has. The Lord has had to correct me many times. But I want to encourage us to be faithful. Be faithful at the place that the Lord has. Keep it. The Lord has placed you in the areas of trust. Be faithful to it. And allow the Lord to develop you as you go through life. Anyway, that's an area of keeping, area that the Lord would like to help us with. Oh, let's hurry on here. The second chapter, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, we want to read here in the 12th verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him, against that day. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that I've committed into His hands. I'm persuaded, and I'm persuaded more now than what I was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I was encouraged by much theory and some experiences, but I've had more experiences over the last 30-some years or better. Well, yeah, it's upper part of 30, getting closer to 40 years of serving the Lord now. I look back on how the Lord has brought me, and the experiences that I have has brought me to a place now that I say with more assurance than ever that He's able to keep that I've committed unto Him. He's able to keep. If we give Him our future, oh, young people, I want to encourage you to give God your future. And there's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of things that you don't know exactly what tomorrow holds, but I want to ask you to commit that into His hands. He's able to keep that I've committed unto Him. I'm not saying that everything is going to go just rosily well in your life. You know, how would I say it differently? Everything's going to just go perfectly in your life. It's not always going to be so. But He's able to keep what you commit to Him. He's able to take you through the hard places. Sometimes the heartaches. He's able to. If we keep that committed unto Him, He's able to take us all the way through with spiritual victory in our heart. A against that day. 13th verse, hold fast. Does that sound like it's an identical twin brother to keep? Hold fast? Don't you think it's a whole lot the same? Keeping and holding fast, I think those are synonym phrases. They mean the same thing. Hold fast. The form of sound words. Be careful. Use sound tried. Don't go out there and decide, well, I'm going to try some new theory out there that's something untried. No. Hold fast that is sound. That's been tried. That's been faithful. That the Lord has shown the blessings. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. What the Lord has given you, and I hope tonight that it's every one of our testimonies that we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope that's your testimony tonight. And I want to encourage you, if that's not your testimony, I want to encourage you throughout this meeting, find a time and see the value of what it is to come and give the rest of your life to the Lord. Oh, I want to encourage you to do so. If there's some place throughout this meeting that the Lord has shows us that we're short or we need to move up, it's not a shame to come to this altar of prayer. In fact, it's a great blessing to come to this altar of prayer. The Lord wants to meet us here to help us work through, to inspire us in our life, to help us get greater victories over the areas where the devil may have been getting some advantage of us. The Lord wants to help you during this meeting, so I want to encourage us to come to the place that I'm able and willing that the good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. This salvation that the Lord has given you, this desire to make heaven your home, keep. Don't allow the devil to discourage and get you to the place that you just say, I think I'm just done. That's what he would like to do. He'd like to get us to the point that, oh, I'm so tired of this battle. Now, you're going to have tiredness in life. But I want to tell you, the struggle on the other side of the fence, if you're going to go over there and walk with the devil, the struggle over there is much harder. But the yoke that the Lord asks us to put on our shoulders, he carries the greatest weight. And he's interested in helping you and I as we pass through life. He wants us to keep this that we've committed unto him. He wants us to keep this good gift that he's given us through the workings of God's Holy Spirit in our life. Commit it without reserve and allow him to work his eternal work in our hearts, that there be a day it's his desire, just be known that it is his desire. It's not his desire that any should perish, but that all of us would come through this repentant door to the place that we can meet him in peace at the end. We could say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want with all my heart to hear those words. But we're not going to do it unless we intend to keep that he's committed to us. Things he asks us, endeavoring to keep. A charge to keep tonight. I want to ask us, as we go through this meeting, the Lord may ask you or show some places for us to move up. Be willing to do so. Be willing to allow the Lord to work in our life. Pray for me. I need to keep this also.